Welcome, everybody. Brother Goodwin here. Prophecy in the Spotlight. Got an exciting show for you today. I want to read a verse to you. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. You understand Acts chapter 1 takes place about 40 days after Christ is killed on the cross, crucified, risen, and coming again. Amen. And he's getting ready to send back to heaven. Just before he does, the apostles ask him a question. I want to read that to you here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. When they, therefore, were come together, that's the apostles, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You've heard me talk about that, Doc and I, many times, about they were looking for a kingdom, the Jews. They still are, by the way. They're looking for a kingdom. They were not looking for Christ to come. They were looking for the kingdom to be established. And so they still have that question on their mind before he ascends back to heaven. They ask him, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to us? Is it going to happen now? If not, when is it going to happen? They were looking for a future event, and they had their timing off here, but they were looking and asking questions about a coming prophetic event. Today on the program, Doc is here, and we're going to go to him in just a second. We're going to discuss in today's program prophecies that are yet to come. Prophecies that are yet to come. Stand by. Hey, welcome, everybody. Glad you could all be with us today. I'm Brother Goodwin. This is Dr. Hiltabiddle. I'm excited about the topic today. We're going to talk about prophecies yet to be fulfilled, prophecies yet to come. And but before we do that, Doc, let's say a word about our viewers.
Thank them.
And very thankful for the folks who keep us on the air. We are supported by you, the viewer. And we have no sponsors. Nobody that sponsors and keeps our program on the air. It's the viewers, people like you that are watching, that send money, call the 800 number, or you write a check and you put it in the mail, or you call and donate over the phone, or you go to the website. We're very thankful for each and every one of you. Doc, I never get over it.
Yeah.
We get to the last few weeks and checks come in, and I'll open a check and $1,000. Just the other day, Doc, $2,000 checks in a row. Amen. I mean, what's the chance? I had eight pieces of mail. The first one was $1,000. I hurried up and told my wife, sent a picture of, hey, look at this. And we're going to make it.
Yeah.
And I opened the second one. Holy cow, another one.
Praise the Lord.
You know, I know you don't get to do that. The checks come to us over there at the P.O. box. And so I get to experience that, and I tell you about it later.
God's been good to keep us.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me that we're able to do what we're doing.
And the emails, the text messages, the notes in the checks that people send, they'll write a note sometimes. We love your program. Thank you for using the King James, all that kind of stuff.
Amen.
I love it. It makes it all worth it.
It does. And it's not that we wouldn't mind somebody want to help us on a larger scale, but this is great. We're living
it'll
by
come.
Faith.
One day it'll come, and we're going to get on some other networks.
It's going to happen. But I'm thankful we can do what we do and help as many people as we can. And if the Lord wants us to broaden that, he'll do that.
Yeah. I say so often, Doc, I don't know if I say it enough, and I try to encourage you with this because I know your heart, you'd like to be out preaching every week somewhere in somebody's church, and for health reasons and age, you've cut back a lot on that. But I try to tell you, and I say it here publicly on TV as well, I say it on the phone when I talk to people, what we're doing if this ministry is important,
I believe so.
We're upholding the King James Bible in these last days. I think we're getting people on the right track. We're trying to get people to get in the right area of prophecy,
and I think we're trying to help people stay with biblical prophecy rather than chasing all kinds of things through.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So in today's program, we're gonna deal with prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. Of course, the big one. The big one, Doc, is the one that prophecy ministries are all about, and that's the rapture.
Sure. But there's a whole lot more beyond that. Just like I tell folks when I teach in the book of Revelation, there's a whole lot more in the book of Revelation than just the tribulation.
Sure, yeah.
Even though it takes up from 6 to 19 chapters, but still it's there's a whole lot there. And but yeah, for us, because we're living in what's called the church age. And I believe it's kind of an interlude because in Daniel chapter 9, God had a 490-year prophecy. Mm-hmm. 483 of those years was accomplished. And then Christ, and he dies on the cross. And now we've got about 2,000 years passed, and he's gonna finish that last 7 years. We call it the tribulation, but it's really the last week of Daniel's prophecy.
Yeah, it is. It's or you could call it a parenthesis. It's like a period of time in between the 69th and 70th
That's
week
right.
of Daniel. It's
yes.
called the church age.
Yes,
it's a lot easier to show people on a slide.
It
and
is.
Help them see
yes.
that parenthesis yeah. there. But we're in that parenthesis, but we're at the end of that.
I'm convinced we're at the end of it. And as you said, most prophecy ministries and most preachers and everybody else in our church, they're looking for the rapture.
And we've all heard this all of our lives, and you and I say this all the time. The next prophetic event on God's calendar is
yes.
the trumpet sounding, the rapture, the rapture of the
yep.
saints. And we're going somewhere, Doc, and that's not on our list,
yes.
but that immediately after the rapture, I believe, is the marriage supper of the Lamb. I think
sure.
that's what it's for. He's
sure.
taking the church off
right.
the planet.
Well, the rapture, you know, first of all, is we're going to go into the portals of glory, into heaven, and that's what you say, the marriage supper of the Lamb for
yeah.
the believer.
Yeah.
And it's not, listen, folks, it's not a judgment of our sin. It's an evaluation of what we have done in our Christian
yes.
life between the time we got saved and the time we entered into heaven.
I'm glad you brought that up because that's a misunderstood
it
thing.
It is very
many.
Misunderstood.
People think we're going to be judged on our sin. No, that all took
that
place.
That was all taken care of on Calvary's
right.
cross. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, Doc. The people who don't understand, don't believe in eternal security. I just read a little bit of a book that somebody sent me, and it had some good stuff in it mm-hmm. about, what was that about? Oh, it was about the America in Bible prophecy. Mm-hmm. It was stuff about that. And I wanted to know who the guy was, so I Googled him, and I went to his website. And I don't remember his name. I'm not sure I'd give it anyway. And I was disappointed to see that he believed that there were that not everybody, he believed in a partial rapture.
Oh.
Now, he may not say that, but that's what he was teaching.
Well, there's a lot of people that,
he was saying, yeah. if you're living in sin, then you're not ready.
Yeah.
You're not worthy. Well, let me ask you, who's worthy to go to heaven?
Well, about 1 John 1, in first chapter of 1 John, he talks about if you say you're without sin, you're a liar.
Yeah, but think about what he just said there. You're not worthy. You know, if you're living like this, you're not worthy. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm
yeah.
not worthy.
No.
I promise you, I'm not worthy to go to heaven.
Well,
I don't know anybody that's worthy to go to heaven. Paul said of himself that he felt like he was
yeah.
the chiefest of sinners.
Right. Well, we're seen by God through the righteousness of Christ.
Yeah.
And that was imputed to our account when we received Christ as our Savior
yeah.
and were born again. So the judgment seat of Christ follows the rapture. I think the rapture takes you right straight to end,
yeah.
end of that.
And that's going to be the 7 year ceremony.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would be 7 days
yes.
in Israel's time, but it's 7 years in heaven. And we as the church are going to be assembled there. We're going to leave earth.
Yeah.
The church is now, for the first time, every believer will be part of that
That's
church.
That's when it will be a universal.
Yeah.
It all
will be
together,
the church
one
of the
place.
Firstborn, I think
yes.
it's called.
Yes.
And we will all be part of that church
That's
then.
That's right.
That are all the saved.
Yeah.
And it's a 7 year event. And I believe we're not the bride of Christ till the end, that last year. The last day.
I don't, yeah, that's a possibility, but.
When he takes us to
yeah.
his new home is when everything
right.
changes.
And, but that's at that point, we're no longer called the bride of Christ. We're called the Lamb's wife.
Yeah, the Lamb's wife. I think that's Revelation yeah. 22 or
yes.
something.
And so, but the next thing on God's prophetic time, I believe, is the closing out of the church age with the rapture of the saints. And that begins on earth. the tribulation.
And that's a mid-trib event, right? Or post-trib event?
No, that happens at the beginning.
Yes, indeed, it sure does.
So after the rapture, we have the millennial reign, we have the marriage supper of the Lamb. We have follows because you couldn't be at the marriage supper if you didn't have a white robe. And I believe that comes from the judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah, and what that fellow was, one of the things the guy said in his book or in his website was, you had to have that white robe. Some of you that are saved down here, you're not living, right? You don't. That's a guy that doesn't understand salvation.
He doesn't understand eternal security.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand a whole lot of things when it comes to redemption.
I was disappointed to see that, but so many people are twisted up on stuff.
Redemption is the full price paid.
Yeah.
But after the the tribulation, that's when you're going to have like the one world order.
Yeah, of course, the Antichrist comes on the scene. That's prophecy.
It's all prophecy. And we're watching all of these things right now because it's not like you go from here and you go right to there. No, everything is phasing that way. And when the rapture takes place, the stage is already set for the tribulation.
It's like we said, I think in the update we did earlier. Remember, everybody talks about the four horsemen and the horsemen are getting ready to ride. And I brought out something I think is pretty profound, really. It's simple but profound. If the rider is going to come in on that white horse, somebody had to prepare that horse. The horse has to have a saddle on, has to have a bridle, has to be ready for the rider to get on and ride in.
He's ready to go.
That's what we're talking about. When we talk about events going on in the world, like Israel and Russia getting possibly coming down.
Right.
What we're looking at is things that would lead up to what a prophetic event is. It doesn't mean that we got the timing right, but these things got to fall into place to make a way for the Antichrist to show up.
And it's obvious by looking at all the roads of prophecy, we're right at that moment, I believe.
Now, it doesn't mean that God couldn't throw in a something and slow everything down.
Well, I think that's what happened about 4 years ago with the election of President Trump. I think the freight train of globalism was rolling so fast, not all of prophecy was ready to fall into place at that time.
That's a good point.
And I believe God used that to slow things up, but it's not going to stop it.
Yeah.
And so once a rapture takes place, I think the next thing on God's prophetic timetable is to finish that 70th week of Daniel. And we call it the tribulation.
Yeah.
And that's going to have a whole lot of things that we're already watching get set up the stage right now.
Yeah. The one world currency, which we can see happening now.
We can see it.
That's not necessarily a prophecy, but it's leading towards the one that's going to take place right at the midpoint of the tribulation.
Right. And another part of the tribulation, Dan, is to prepare a remnant of the Jews for the millennial reign.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the tribulation, we have the Battle of Armageddon. And associated with that is the seventh vial of wrath. And the seventh vial of wrath is an earthquake greater than the world has ever experienced. And it's going to completely change the topography of planet Earth.
Yeah.
No more islands and no more mountains. And so what God's going to do in the tribulation when he gets to the end of it, he will have, because the last 3.5 years, the Jews are in hiding. And there's only going to be, best I can tell from Scripture, 1/6 of all the Jewish people survived the tribulation to be a remnant for the millennial reign. Because God's going to keep his promise.
Yeah.
He's promised that golden era, and after that Battle of Armageddon, then we have the second coming of Christ.
All right, so the rapture, the tribulation, and of course, tons of things in the tribulation. We could, like the Antichrist.
So many facets to it.
But then we come to after the tribulation. Let's shift gears. This is prophecy. That's
going to happen. These are things that God has planned. So the second coming is what it's all about, Christ coming, the day of the Lord. He's coming back.
I'm going to find that while you're talking.
And so after the Battle of Armageddon, the world has already been changed, and it's obvious that you think Jesus is going to rule over a world that is in shambles? No. Why did God make an earth in Genesis chapter 1? Everything so precise and everything perfect. And then he put man on it. the whole purpose of man. I know we have the idea, Dan, that when we die or when we are raptured, we're going to heaven. We are going to heaven, but God never designed heaven for us. God designed earth for man.
Hmm. That's interesting.
And so we're going to have a home called the New Jerusalem. And until the end of the millennial reign and a new earth and heaven, we'll see it in a few moments, that's going to come down. That's our home. God designed man because he designed earth for man. And so we are going to live on an earth forever, but not the same one we have now. So the millennial reign starts as a result of the seventh vial of wrath, an earthquake that totally changes the topography of the world. In that earthquake is 100-pound blocks of ice falling down. What is that? I'm convinced God's going to reestablish a canopy system, the firmament, as he did in the river, because Christ is going to rule over an earth. And at that time, he's going to have put the old Satan in the bottomless pit and locked him up.
Mm-hmm.
And the millennial reign begins on a restored planet.
You know, I've known you for quite a few years now. I've never one time ever heard you say what you said a moment ago. What you're saying is the last few vials of God's wrath,
yes,
are not just to bring judgment, but to bring back the earth to what God wants it to be.
The whole purpose is finally at the end to prepare the earth and the millennial remnant for the millennial reign. Not only will they be Jews at the remnant, but there's also going to be Gentiles. There's going to be people that survive the tribulation period.
Yeah.
They go into the millennial reign. I get the question all the time, do only the Jews go in? No. How would you have the sheep and goats nations? How would you have that division? And why would you have, when the Bible says during the millennial reign, everybody in all the nations have to come once a year to Jerusalem, or he'll withhold the rain? And so the latter part of the tribulation judgments is not only putting final judgments on the Gentile world, and that's coming to an end there at the Battle of Armageddon, but it's also getting ready to restore the present earth for the millennial reign.
That's interesting. Let's make a note of that. Let's do a show on that. That's fascinating.
Oh, but it is. I mean, it's laid out for you in the end of chapter 16 in the seventh vial of wrath.
Yep.
And so
now we skipped something. The Battle of Armageddon. You put them together here. The Battle of Armageddon. And let me read Revelation 19:11.
Right.
And this is the second coming. And this is the verse that I write when I sign somebody's book. I'll put Revelation 19:11. And this is at the end of the tribulation. In fact, I can tell you what day it is. It's a day of atonement.
Yep.
And that's when he comes on the white horse. It's a jubilee. He's got the title deed to earth in his hand. He takes back possession of planet earth. And here it is. And I saw heaven opened. That's interesting. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And it goes on to describe him some more. Verse 13 calls him the Word of God, capital W.
Yes.
The final word in the Bible, the seventh time that it's capitalized. Here it is right here in Revelation chapter 19, verse 13. He is the living Word.
That's right.
Of God. And so this happens at the same time the Battle of Armageddon. Let's just say a word about Armageddon.
Well, Armageddon, it's obvious. It goes with Joel chapter 2, the Valley of Jezreel, where all who've caused Israel to part God's land is going to be represented there. I believe the major armies of the world are going to be gathered there into the Valley of Jezreel. It's the Armageddon or Megiddo Valley.
Megiddo, they call it.
And
I've stood there and seen that.
And they're going to be gathered there. And
was it Napoleon that was?
Yeah, he said it was quoted, the greatest. Looked like the greatest battlefield in the world. Yeah.
And he said the greatest battle. What a place for a battle!
And
there's a military guy always thinking about war, and he looked at that and said, "Wow, what a place to have a fight!"
Yeah. And it's coming.
Yeah,
but that's what the Battle of Armageddon.
Christ is going to end that.
Yes.
With the word of his mouth, just boom, it's over.
It's over. And people say, well, how could God restore the world for the millennial reign? Hey, it didn't take him 5 days to make it.
That's right.
And so it won't take him any time to remake it. Amen.
Yeah.
And but yeah, we'd make that'd make a good subject for another time.
I don't think most people have ever heard any of what you just said about part of the vials of wrath of God's preparation of the world for what was to come.
Well, the earth groaning and travailing, awaiting its day of redemption, and that's when it's coming at that point in time.
Well, I've preached that for years, that part of the tribulation is the redemption of planet Earth, but I never made it physical. I never thought about
it. Is because the millennial reign is going to be the devil is going to be locked up in the bottomless pit. Humanity will be ruled over with you and I and the believers. Because part of the judgment seat of Christ, our rewards will be turned into responsibilities of ruling and reigning with Christ for the millennial reign.
And the millennium is is here, but I think you've already gave most of that.
Yeah.
The millennium, that's a prophecy, the 1,000-year kingdom age.
At the end of that, the devil's going to be let loose.
Now, that seventh day is the seventh day of Genesis 1 and 2.
Yes.
The seventh day God rested. That's a picture of the 1,000-year kingdom
picture
age.
Picture of the...
And it's going to last 1,000 years.
Yep.
There's going to be one more
battle.
And
at the end of that, he's going to turn the devil loose to deceive the world again.
Yep.
And that'll bring you to a great battle again. And a lot of people get that battle and the Battle of Armageddon mixed up.
Right.
But that's the final battle, because that's whenever the heavens and the earth are going to melt fervent heat. This present world is going to be totally transformed for a new earth and new heaven.
You know, I never thought
coming.
About that before. I know about the final battle. I know Satan's, but I never thought about when he creates a new heaven and new earth. And of course, Peter talks about the world's going to be burned with fervent heat. I never put that together. That could all be the same event.
That's all going to happen because in chapter 20, you're going to read a book of Revelation. You're going to read about the great white throne judgment.
Now, that's before the new heaven and new earth,
right? Yes, because when that takes place, heaven and earth will pass away, and there will be no place for anybody except at the judgment seat of God,
and on
the great white throne judgment.
So on our list here, I think I'm not sure, is that in the same time period there, the great
at
white
the
throne?
At the end of the millennial reign.
But that would be before the final, the fervent heat and all that.
Well, that comes because... That's part of the great white throne judgment.
Okay, so that's all together.
Yeah, the heavens and the earth all melt with fervent heat. They roll up because there's no place found for them, Revelation chapter 20.
And so the great white throne, lost
person.
It's not on earth anyway, the great white throne judgment.
It's every lost person that has ever lived not received Christ.
Yeah.
Not come under the plan of God's redemption.
Do you believe that we'll witness that? Do you believe
we will.
Yeah, I believe so.
I'm sure
too.
We'll be there.
And I think that's where the tears are wiped away.
Yes.
For the final.
Well, the tears aren't wiped away until after that.
Right.
That comes in the next chapter. Because he said the former things are done away. They've gone. They're away.
Yeah.
How would you enjoy eternity if all of a sudden a million years, and I don't know how you'd measure that into eternity, but some point in time in the future of eternity, began to think about lost loved ones that are in hell, and tears would start. I want folks need to understand this. When God says the former things are passed away, you'll never remember anybody that's in hell.
I agree, and I teach that. I believe when he wipes away the tears away, I believe he takes away all remembrance of lost loved ones, mothers, fathers,
everything.
A child.
That's why it's so important for God's people to be diligent in trying to win our families to Christ.
Yeah.
And the great white throne judgment, after that, God makes a brand new heaven. Not heavens, heaven. Yeah. Again, a lot of people get mixed up. They go back over to Genesis and they put an S on the heaven in chapter 1, verse 1.
Yeah.
And there's not.
No.
It's heaven. And God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth for an eternity.
Mm-hmm.
For what purpose? For you and I, who are the redeemed, to be able to continue to rule and reign. You say, what are we going to rule and reign over? I don't know. But we're going to continue to rule and reign with Christ for the eons of eternity on a new earth that's never been impacted by sin. These are God's plans
and as
far
for
humanity.
We know, at least unless God hasn't told us something, as far as we know, that will go on for eternity and there'll never be evil again.
Never be. Because at the end of the millennium, at the great white throne judgment of God, the devil is thrown into the abyss, the lake of fire.
Yeah.
And all of those demonic forces in the lake of fire. And as you are judged, the lost are judged of the great white throne judgment of God. In Matthew chapter 7, he takes them, binds them hand and foot, and casts them in the lake of fire. And he's going to say to them, because I never knew you.
Yeah.
And so you can know all about God, but you want to make sure he knows you.
So the judgment of the nations, where's that in
that's
this
back
scenario?
At the beginning of the millennial reign.
Okay, yeah, that's way back there. Yeah.
Yes, and see, it has to do with how they have treated Israel.
Yeah.
And I think not only just treatment of Israel during the tribulation, but I think of how they treated Israel during the
history,
church age.
Yeah.
Yes. And so there will be people say, well, who's going into the millennial reign? Everybody in their physical body that lived through the tribulation. Best I can tell, that's about 2 billion people.
Yeah, and they'll be lost and saved.
Lost and saved.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. If I'm correct, and I believe I am, but if it's a restored earth as it was in the days of Noah, that would mean that, and you go to chapter 60 through 66 of the book of Isaiah, and you're looking at millennial passages, also back in chapter 14, but you'll find that the lamb and lion will lay down together. Not in our atmospheric world.
Mm-hmm.
A child can play with a poisonous snake. Not in our atmospheric world. But in a 2 atmosphere or a 1.7 time atmosphere, that's what would have happened.
Yeah.
And that's what it's going to be in the millennial reign.
Well, folks, we're running out of time. And I don't mean that just literally here at the show, although we're running out of time
yes.
here too. But we're running out of time before eternity begins. Your loved ones
Amen.
Are running out of time. Your mom, your dad, one of your children, your friends, cousins, people at work, we're running out of time. You need to get your loved ones saved. We have a book on our website by Dr. William P. Grady, What Must I Do to Be Saved? That book was written for lost people.
Amen.
We've gotten hundreds of them out there already. You need to order that book, order 5 of them, get them to your loved ones before it's too late. And we need to get people saved. I hope that you're saved. Hope you've got a place in your mind where you got on your face and realized you was a lost sinner and you trusted Jesus as your Savior. I hope Amen. You've got that testimony. If you need any help with that, contact us. Until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.